Matthew 9, beginning in verse number 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Over the next couple weeks, I want to direct our attention to this topic of the multitudes. In this passage we just read a minute ago, in verse number 36, at the beginning of that verse, it says, "When he saw the multitudes." And that's what we're going to focus on today, especially, but over the next few weeks, because I want to help prepare all of us, and I know not everybody's going to be here over that time and all of that, but nonetheless, this one lesson can be a benefit in that regard. But in about a month, we're going to have missions conference here at this church, and it's a time where we direct our attention on the work of God across the world. And I want to help us get ready for that. And so we're going to take some time over the next few weeks to look at that, this topic of the multitudes around us that need to know the message of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look in this passage just as a way to get started in that regard. And then over the next few weeks, we'll continue in that study. But let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for the day you've given us today. Thank you for allowing us to have your word and the challenges that you give us through it. Lord, I pray that the message of your name would be spread across this world. And Lord, I pray that you would use the members of this class or those who are able to attend this class even just today, that you would use them to spread your name. Lord, there are multitudes of people who need to know you. And so, Father, I pray you'd help me today. Fill me with your Spirit so I can give this challenge, that all of us would receive it and be involved in the way that you bring us to in these verses. Lord, I pray that you'd bless today, bless the service to follow, and Lord, just help us have a great day in church this morning. God, we pray that you'd speak to hearts and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is no doubt that the world is in need of the message of Jesus Christ. There are close to 7.7 billion people in the world today, according to some of the numbers that you can check, and only around 30 of them of that 7.7 billion identify as some type of Christian. And I think that all of us are probably aware that not everybody that calls himself a Christian is even someone who believes in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there is a small number, really, a third or close to a third, but still leaving a large majority of people that at least don't identify with the name of Jesus Christ. And there, some statistics will tell you that over 2 billion people in the world have never even heard of Jesus Christ. 2 billion people. I mean, that's a lot of people. I mean, obviously, that's a lot of people. That our country, the United States of America, has like 350 million people. We're talking about 2 billion people who've never even heard his name. And I don't think I have to say too much to help you realize if they've never heard his name. And he said in John 14:6 that he's the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by him. That in the next 90 years, every one of those people will be passed away. They'll die of those 2 billion. Just throwing a number out there, that's pretty likely that in 90 years, all of those people will die. 2 billion people straight into an eternity without Christ. I don't think that we have to sit by and think too long to realize that there are multitudes of people who need the message of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have missions conference every year. We have it every year because it helps us to get our eyes off of us and get our eyes on the people who have never been reached with the gospel, people who have never heard. And that's what the church is all about. Jesus said when he was on this earth that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he left the world, he gave the church the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It was the job of the church. It's the privilege that the church has to be involved in. And yet so many people today, they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so the conclusion we have to come to is this: we have work to do. And one way we get involved in that work is the work of missions. If you've ever walked down the long hallway in our church, and I'm sure most of you have, you'll see all of those boards with pictures and an 8x10 piece of paper underneath that, and it has a letter from someone somewhere in the world telling us here at our church what has been going on there. We support, as a church, over 100 missionaries who are going elsewhere into some place in this world that they at least at some point determined what God was sending them to, that place so they could tell those people there about Jesus Christ. And we support that work, but there's still more to be done. And I would say that if you were to look at the giving statistics of this church, that every year, and we give a lot of money to missions through our church, and for a church this size, it's a great thing that we give what we give. But God wants us to give more. I was listening to some things this last week, and while I've not fact-checked these statistics, I have checked a little bit of them. But I heard this last week that of the amount of money that Christians made in the last few years, the average that Christians give to the church is 2% of all their income. 2%. And of that 2%, 6%. Goes to missions of the 2%. I'm just telling you, that's not enough. Now, money is not everything, but if people are going to go and reach the world with the gospel, they're going to need money to do it. I mean, you can't fly across the world without money. I mean, it's just kind of part of what they need to get there. And this is, these next few weeks is not my goal to focus on money as much, but my goal is to get our minds on the work that needs to be done and in comparison to how much is being done currently. And the truth is, and I really want you to get a hold of this, God wants to use you. You never know what you do will do. My mom sold Instant Interiors or dealt in that world when I was younger, I remember her going to work and those places when I was a little kid. But my mom accepted Jesus Christ before I was born. A week before the girl who would have been my sister, she passed away when she was 9 weeks old, but my mom accepted Christ as her Savior the week before that. And what she did was she grew up not believing in Jesus Christ per se. She grew up going to church, a church of some sort, but not really a church that taught that you could just by faith accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. It was all really works-based, and she never really got much out of it anyways, as there really isn't much to get out of it because there's nothing you can do. And to get to heaven anyways, it's all that what has been done for you. And so that was kind of her background. And she went to this show where she would go and show this furniture and stuff like that, and went to this show and was showing these things. And it had become her habit to just kind of gauge the audience that was there and the person who was putting on the show, and she would, if she could tell that they had some religious background, she would talk like a Christian. I mean, she'd talk about God and all those kind of things. And this night she was at this show, and the couple who was putting the show on the husband was a pastor. And I'm so thankful that night, instead of just thinking, oh, obviously this lady talks like she believes in God, he asked her. And asked her if she knew she was going to go to heaven one day. And she kind of gave the answer, you know, try to be good, but I'm not really sure type answer. And that day, that pastor led my mom to Jesus Christ. You know, that pastor has no idea that two of the sons of that lady that was in his house that day are now in the ministry because he led her to Jesus Christ. I was listening to a message recently. A man named William Miracle, who's a missionary, was telling about some work that he was doing, and he's in China, and he was there, and he was discipling someone out in a relatively public place, and sitting down, and had a Bible there, and he was and that might surprise you if you know a little bit about China, but some places in China are very antagonistic towards the gospel, and just kind of depends on who's in charge in that region, and but he was out there doing a kind of a Bible study with a guy, and this guy came up to him and said, "Hey, is that a Bible?" And the missionary said, "Well, yes, it is." And he said, "Are you studying the Bible?" And he said, "Well, yes, we are." And the guy said, can I study with you?" And he sat down, and they went over the lesson that the missionary had prepared for that day, and they would meet every day. And so the next time he said, "Well, you know, hey, can I do this with you?" He said, "Oh, yeah." So the next time he came, he brought a friend with him. And the next time he came, he brought a different friend with him, and a different friend with him. And through that young man coming up to that missionary, there are now at least 3 Chinese national pastors who are pastoring churches that are reaching people with the gospel. You know where that started? The day before, a young Chinese girl gave that guy a tract. Just a little gospel tract. And just, "Hey, read this when you get a chance." And the next day, he saw someone reading the Bible. And he asked. And now he's a pastor. And there are several other pastors, or a couple other pastors at least, reaching people with the gospel. Because what one person decided to do, one guy led my mom to Christ. And I'm not saying I'm much, or my brother's very much, but my brother's a pastor, and I teach this class and try to preach the gospel and reach people. And you just never know what God will use your efforts to do. And so just think, as we go through this this series, what can God use me for? How can God use my efforts? Because God wants to use all of you. God wants to save everybody, and that includes you if you've never accepted Jesus Christ by faith in your life. But He wants to use you to help others in that regard as well. But if we're going to get involved in reaching the multitudes, there are some things that we need to realize first. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look into these several verses that we read this morning. We're just going to see the 4 sites that are here in this in these verses that can help us as we seek to try to get involved in the work of missions and the reaching of the 2 billion at least who've never even heard His name, but the 7.7 billion who all need Jesus in some way, shape, or form. And so the first one we're going to look at today is this. There in verse number 34 and 35 is, first of all, a burdened look. Jesus always had people on His mind. He was always going around doing good, the Bible says. His goal was to change the lives of people. And there's no doubt that as Jesus lived, that lives were being changed. I mean, you can look at the very physical ways that lives were changed, from people who were dead and then He brought them back to life, or people who were sick and He healed them, or people who were blind and He gave them sight. I mean, so much was happening in the days that Jesus lived. And as a matter of fact, if you were to read through Matthew chapter 9, you'd find a very good example of the life of Jesus Christ. Mark 10:45, the Bible says this about Jesus: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus gave his life in service of others. And in Matthew chapter 9, you find in verse number 2 and 6, he heals a man who was sick with palsy. And Matthew in that same chapter, in verse number 9, he called Matthew, the author of this book, to follow him. And verse number 10, he spent time at a meal with publicans and sinners, people that no one else in that society would have spent time with, and Jesus spent time with them. And verse number 14, he answered John's disciples' question. And verse number 22, he heals a woman with the issue of blood. And verse 25, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And verse number 30, he gave sight to two blind men. And verse number 33, he cast out a devil. Now, that's a lot in just one chapter. And that's just a sample of how Jesus spent his life. You know, one of the most instructive things about the life of Jesus Christ is realizing this. Jesus spent his life as an individual impacting other individuals. Now, we know he was the God-man. But he restrained himself to one point in space and time. And one person at a time, one message at a time, he tried to make a difference. And in Matthew chapter 9, we find, and if that was a day in Christ's life or a week in Christ's life, we don't really know, but it was busy. And then you get to verse 35, and it just kind of summarizes. And Jesus went about all the cities in all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel in the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. You can kind of, if you know what it's like to be busy, which I'm sure all of you probably do, you know what it's like, just like here and there and this and that on my schedule and this on my schedule. And I know what that's like too. And Jesus knew what that was like. He went from that synagogue to that village to heal that person, to talk to that person, give counsel over here, instruct his disciples over there. And then in verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, it's like, in my mind, I just envision Jesus doing all these things. And then he turns around and there's just this crowd of people. And he knows every need that they have. And he wants to meet it. But he's just one man. And he's going to spend his time one at a time. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to show us how God could use us. Yeah, he could fix everybody's problems just like that. But it really wouldn't fix everybody's problems in the way that they need. When I was growing up, we had a really big garden. And I remember one particular instance where my mom was like, all right, guys, we're going to go out and we're going to pull weeds. I hate pulling weeds. I like gardens. I like fruit. I like vegetables. But I hate pulling weeds. And that day definitely sealed that knowledge and that hatred in my mind. I mean, we went out there, and this was not as, I mean, if you put this room, you know, two or three next to each other, that was about how wide it was. And about four of these rooms end to end, that was about how long it was. And we had a relatively large garden. And for whatever reason, we had let the weeds grow up pretty substantially in our garden at that point. And so we went out there, and my mom was like, all right, we're not leaving this garden until the weeds are gone. And it was just like you'd pull weeds around one plant or whatever it was, and you'd go to the next one, and you'd be out there, and like 30 minutes later, you just look at the rest of the garden. Like, this is a never-ending job. I feel like by the time I get down there, the weeds are gonna pop back up at the beginning. I'm gonna have to go back there. I mean, this is gonna take me forever. That's what Jesus was expressing in this moment for us. I've been doing all of these things, and there's still so many people. Our church has existed for 240 years, doing a lot of good things. There's still so many people. Multitudes of people. A burdened look. Looking around and seeing and feeling that inward compulsion. That's what the look led Jesus to. That's why I said it's a burdened look. The Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I'm sure all of us have at some point or another in our lives been moved by something we saw. And Jesus had that compassion in his heart to try to help make a difference. And it explains a little bit about what their need was. They were sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to guide them, no one to help them, no one to meet their needs. And so then he turns to his disciples and he kind of gives a little bit of instruction. And we're just going to kind of briefly look at this because obviously the bell just rang. Number two is there's this. There's a bountiful harvest. Verse number 36, he said, "Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." Now, we've just spent a little bit of time looking at the multitude. There's a lot of people. But as Jesus spoke on the harvest, he was really trying to put a picture in their mind. We know what the harvest is. We're just talking about a garden. I mean, it's the time when everything's ready. I mean, it's all you got to do is go out and pick it. You realize that there are people that would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior if someone would just tell them? We've spent a little bit of time in the last month or so talking about how to do that. And we'll keep spending that time doing that. Because we need, someone needs to tell them. But it begins with realizing there's a harvest out there. John 4:35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." People are ready. God is drawing people to himself. All we have to do is go out and tell them. And you never know who it is. That pastor never knew what my mom was going to say when he said, "Hey, do you know you're on your way to heaven?" But that day, she was ready. And she's really glad she accepted Christ as her Savior. I can assure you of that fact. And there are people that are just like that around you every week of your life. But more than that, there are people around this world that we need to try to get involved in trying to reach them. But the rest of that verse tells us that there was also a barren workforce. Because he went on to say, "But the laborers are few." And this gets us to the last thing this morning. The big request. You know, Jesus had one prayer request that he ever gave to the church. One. He prayed about a lot of things. But he only one time said, "Pray for this." And it's here in this verse, in this chapter. I'll read it again. "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We need, as a group of young adults, to begin to pray that God would send people to reach the people we never can. There are people that I will never get to meet. I just know that. There are people you will never get to meet. But pray that God would send someone to them so that they can be reached with the message of the gospel. And obviously, part of the condition of praying for others to go is we need to be willing to go ourselves. Today's lesson is not, hey, you need to get involved with missions by being a missionary, but if that's what God's telling you, then go ahead and do it. But at least pray that God would send people around the world. And if they're going to go, someone's got to give. Someone's got to pray, someone's got to give, someone's got to support. There's so much, and that's what Missions Conference is all about. Directing our attention on the needs of the multitude. And bringing us to one central instruction. Pray. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would raise up people. Even from this class, from this church, from somewhere, to reach the people. They're not being reached. And then over the next few weeks, we'll talk more and more about missions and different things just to prepare our hearts for our involvement in different ways. Okay? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the lesson about the multitudes. And God, I pray that you would help us as a class to get involved in praying for laborers. Lord, I pray that you would raise up people from within our church. I pray you'd raise up people from other churches from all around this world to reach people in this world who need the gospel. Lord, I pray you'd bless this lesson, help it to continue to develop in the hearts of everyone who heard it this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.